University.
Well, hello everyone and welcome. It's been a very long time since I talked about the Ukraine war, about Vladimir Putin, or about Russia. But we finally got some news in the past couple of days, which is that there's been an announced truce or temporary ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine, nominally brokered by the United States. And the details of this truce are that 1,000 prisoners from either side will be swapped. And also Putin is signaling that he's wrapping up the special operation. Now, some people think that this won't hold, that this is temporary, you know, for both sides to tactically, you know, rearm, redeploy, and so on and so forth. But I'm wondering what's actually happening in the conflict. I've made lots and lots and lots of notes. It's been a while since I checked in on Russia, Ukraine. I've developed some theories, and we will explore them in this video. But before we get going, I will remind people it is the spring sale here at the Academic Agency. Everybody wants to be cool, and you too can be cool. If you pick up a course with promo code COOL, get you 25% off all courses. I'll play the ad. When I come back, we're going to go through my notes here about the Russia-Ukraine war and what on earth has been going on over there pretty much for the past 4 years. Everybody wants to be cool. Like this guy. This guy is cool. Do you know who else is cool? People who do courses at the Academic Agency. And you too can be cool by getting a course today with promo code COOL, which gets you 25% off all courses. Today. Promo code COOL. So when the Ukraine war started all the way back in 2022, what was it that Vladimir Putin wanted? Well, he wanted control of the four Donbass regions, which he claimed were facing what he described as Nazi occupation by the Ukrainians for mistreatment of Russians and hostility towards people who were ethnically Russian in the Donbass region. And so he wanted control over them to bring them into Mother Russia. He also, some of his more maximalist aims at that time were, a denazification of Ukraine, which is something he continued to mention throughout the years. A guarantee that Ukraine is not going to be joining NATO. Essentially, he wanted Ukraine to be a kind of neutral state, not one that's going to be used to further NATO expansion. Well, how far is he from achieving these aims? Because the first question I ask myself is, well, why is he signaling that this is wrapping up at this time? What truly is going on? Well, the facts are that Russia now controls 20% of Ukraine overall, about a fifth of the entire country, if you include the pre-Crimea borders and all of that. It is 100% of Luhansk, 80% of Donetsk, 90% of the broader Donbass region. This translates to around 45,000 square miles. Now, if you pick up a Western newspaper, there's a lot of talk in there of, Russia may have, seized land or whatever, but it does not yet have administrative control over the oblast, the four oblasts. And, this is a kind of weasel. It's true in a sense, in so much as Russia does not have de jure, by which I mean legally recognized control over these territories. It does have de facto control over, 80-85% of that region. There's still a little bit that's holding out where the battle lines are currently still drawn. So, you could say that militarily he has more or less got there with a couple of little holdouts. More on what's going on in the battlefield in a second. Russian advances have slowed. Okay, they have slowed. Objectively speaking, the net movement this year, okay, has been almost nothing, if not negative. They've even lost some territory. I actually had a look. I wanted to compare their advances because I remember there was a lot of talk of, well, the winter is really harsh in Russia and Ukraine. You know, the mud, if you remember all of that, rain can slow them down, snow can, you know. But the fact of the matter is that between December 2022 and February 2023, they made, even despite those conditions, the Russians made between 5 and 8 square kilometers per day in advances. In December 23 to February 24, it was between 10 and 15 kilometers a day, square kilometers a day, they made in advances. Last year, between December 24 and February 25, it was again between 10 and 14, 10 and 15 square kilometers, whereas this year it had been only 5.2 kilometers, so about half. It's basically crawled to, you know, slow to a crawl. One of the things to remember about this entire conflict is that of all of that land I mentioned, 80% of all the gains, period, were made right at the start of the war in 2022. Now, the war started in February, but the gains were made in March, April sort of time. They sped run it. And if you remember, then they drove the tanks all the way to Kiev and wanted at that point to make it, you know, to bring the conflict to a swift end, because they achieved most of what they wanted to right at the start. The Ukrainian government refused. Boris Johnson went over there, if you recall, in 2022 and scuppered that from happening. The, you know, we're going to fight the last Ukrainian. 4 years later, and basically we've been stuck in a holding pattern. There has been 4 years of slow, relentless grinding. You know, they call it the meat grinder for a reason. The Russians just slowly, doggedly fight. You know, they've set up those, the Ukrainians set up those defensive lines, and slowly but surely the Russians have been pushing. Although recently, as an objective fact, their push, slow as it was, has become even slower. Why have the Russians slowed down? And I looked into this, and it's an objective fact that the Russia have taken record losses this year. On a day-by-day, period-by-period basis, they've lost more men in the past few months than in any other time. Why is that? And a lot of it is operational. A lot of it comes down to the difference in Ukrainian strategy and tactics at the start of the war versus now. At the start of the war, the Ukrainian military was controlled by a man called General General Zaluzny. Okay, if the Duran end up watching this, Mercurius is going to be rolling his eyes. General Zaluzny, okay, he was known as the Iron General, and he was incredibly popular within Ukraine. Ukrainian nationalists like him. He was a favorite of the Azov battalions and all of those type of guys. He was a favorite in the West. He was a favorite of NATO's. Okay, and he was the man responsible for all of those very flashy kind of offensives that, you know, so arrested the imaginations of journalists in 2023 and all of that. The trouble is that they weren't particularly effective. Okay, they were hyped to the moon by the media. And, you know, Zelensky back then was this kind of almost like celebrity figure. And Zaluzhny was like the kind of Western press's man, as well as being very popular within Ukraine. Well, but the trouble is, a lot of that stuff was for the cameras. Like, to use a sports phrase, it was for the cameras. Looked flashy, but did it get a lot done? No. The Russians ground, you know, kept on grinding on. Recently, the general has been a man called General Sursky. In fact, for the past 2 years, he, you know, he has replaced Zaluzhny. And he has been a lot more low-key, a lot, you know, he's a lot less well-known in the West. And, you know, it's almost like the West has slowly but surely lost interest in this conflict. And as a result, the Ukrainian strategy has changed. It's much less about doing flashy things for Western cameras and more about getting dug in and doing the things that are actually effective against the Russians. They've been using a lot of drones, right? Rather than flashy offensive, they've been, you know, playing on the counterattack, you could say. And as a result of this, they have actually, you know, their efficacy on the battlefield has improved. So the Ukrainian performance against the Russians is better now than it was at the start of the war. So the Russians have started to amount losses. And, you know, I give value-free analysis on this show. I'm not on any particular side. And the fact is that Putin may be looking at the situation now and saying, well, look, I'm in a position of relative strength compared to where I was before because I have objectively gained 20% of territory. Things are starting to go south on the battlefield. We're starting to lose. So as things stand, it may be a good idea to kind of, you know, cut my losses here and take what I can. Take, you know, I've got most of what I want, which is the Donbass territories. And the truce may well be about trying to get Donald Trump or the current US admin to tell Ukraine to give in, give up on the Donbass, right? You've already lost 90% of it. Give it up. All that's happening is you're losing men there. And I should mention this General Syrsky is not very popular within Ukraine, right? Zaluzhny, very popular figure. Syrsky is seen by many as a kind of Soviet-style butcher, okay, that he has been all too happy to feed men into the meat grinder, almost Russian, you know, Russian-Soviet style. And that's made him not very popular. But the fact is, despite his unpopularity, his tactics have actually been quite effective against the Russians. You know, maybe because he's, you know, thinking like them rather than thinking what's impressive to some, you know, Telegraph journalist or whatever, or some, you know, Wall Street Journal hack. Right? He's thinking, well, how can I actually slow the Russians down and actually, you know, make gains against the Russians? And he's done that. So I think that Putin at the moment, this current play, this reason that you're hearing this sort of talk is because he wants now to use political pressure through Donald Trump, through the US, to try to use leverage from that angle against the Ukrainians to drop, to pull out of Donbass and give him that win. Whatever else happens to Ukraine, you know, he wants that for him. And then he can genuinely tell the world and tell his own supporters and so on within Russia, we achieve what we said we were going to come for this. We've achieved that. And now it's time for that. You know, now we've done our job. We control it on the battlefield. What we're going to extract from Trump is the de jure part, an actual recognition that Russia now controls his territory. And we're only going to get that if the Ukrainians bugger off. That's what he's going for. Whether that's going to happen or not, who knows? So far, NATO has and the Western powers have been incredibly belligerent about any concessions at all towards Putin. Maybe things, you know, the Iran war and the economic pressure and the situation there has meant that the West actually has no choice but to accept, you know, this L here by giving Putin the Donbass regions. Maybe. If past president is anything to go by, the Ukrainians aren't going to give in, the ceasefire will not hold, the NATO powers will dig in more. That's what they've done every single ever time. But who knows? This is the first time Putin has signaled what he's thinking about winding this down. But presumably, he's going to want Ukraine out of the Donbass. That could then end up being the sticking point. We'll see what happens. I'm recording this on Monday. This will go out on Wednesday. You know, I wouldn't be surprised by the time you watch this if fighting has resumed. Because it remains, I mean, the basic sticking point in this entire conflict is the Western inability, one, to take an L, and two, to accept that other nations have interests. That has been the continual problem with Western foreign policy, that they do not accept other nations have sovereign interests, other nations like Russia and other nations like Iran. They think they can dictate to those countries, and those countries are saying, no, you cannot do that. And if you want to do that, you have to make us do it militarily. Well, you can't do that. So therefore, we get to dictate some terms. That's what this all this is about. That's why war happens. And I would say the Russian conflict really is the beginning, was when it started and remains the beginning of the end of US hegemony and one world, there only being one world power. This is the return of great power politics. And, you know, it's not going to be clean and decisive. It never is, you know, in this day and age. But this would be the closest thing that Putin can come to saying, look, yeah, Ukrainians, you've put up a better fight than we thought. It's been a grind. It's been a struggle. Lots and lots of people have died. But at the end of the day, Russia is going to take the Donbass. That's how I see it. That's my value-free analysis. Tell me I'm wrong. Frankly, you can say all sorts of things in the comments. I won't care. This is my conclusion. This is based on all of the facts that I could find. I spent hours reading up on the facts. And it is what it is. So this may upset some Russians. It may upset some Ukrainians. But the facts are the facts. It may upset some BBC journalists. It may upset some, you know, Moscow journalists. It doesn't really matter. The reason that this is happening, in my view, is because Putin is trying to get, he's trying to cut his losses. He's trying to get Ukraine out of the Donbass, to get that and get out of this war. He feels like he's done enough. And objectively speaking, Ukraine is doing better. Now, why would Ukraine accept any of this when they're doing better on the battlefield? Well, because the fact is they're reliant on NATO, they're reliant on the West, they're reliant on the US. And if they decide to pull out, then Ukraine could get completely annihilated by Russia, or they could end up losing everything to the Russians. That's one reason. The second reason is they can succeed in terms of surviving and in terms of keeping the Russians at bay indefinitely, but they cannot actually win. Then this has always been the problem for Ukraine. They cannot actually decisively win this. They cannot. And what would winning look like? It would mean Russia giving up the 80% of territory, the 90% of the Donbass it's won, and withdrawing and saying, look, we tried, we came, and we failed. That's not going to happen because, objectively speaking, Russia has got the majority of the Donbass under its control. So what can Ukraine do other than stall? So those are the actual reasons why Ukraine may think, well, look, we're going to have to write off the Donbass. We tried, we struggled, we did better than people expected us to, but we can't actually stop Russia taking this territory. It is where it is. Well, what do they gain? Well, they get to live to fight another day. You know, Zelensky's still there. You know, Putin didn't get everything he wanted. They kill lots of Russians. So they can genuinely hold their head up high and say, look, we fought a really hard struggle here. Yes, we lost the territory, but Ukraine still lives. You know, there's a way of selling it. Anyway, that's my take. You tell me yours. Pick up a course today, promo code COOL, and I'll see you all next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.